Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter. But if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let us stand together, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, in a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Dear Heavenly Father, our hand this day is wanting to do that which is right. Lord, we want this day to be a blessing to those that are here. And Lord, may the words that are said at this time be of encouragement, even as these words were penned to be an encouragement to those of that day. Give us strength, Lord, to serve you faithfully until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Peter, writing to the stranger scattered, continues to encourage the readers to live God-honoring lives. We note in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside. And then I have written, that which leaves a bad taste in the mouth of God. Laying aside those things that leave a bad taste in God's mouth. Now we know in the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, they were not hot and they were not cold, but they were lukewarm. And the Lord said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I believe it was yesterday. It could have been Friday. I was looking for a push tack. I wanted to put something up there on the bulletin board at the base of the steps by the glass door, and I hope you read the little thing there about the northern lights. And as I was looking in the room downstairs with the pews, I opened it up because I knew that there had at one time been some push pins in there. And sure enough, there was. But I also spied some Girl Scout cookies. Now, let's be honest, if you see some Girl Scout cookies and you look to your left and you look to your right and nobody's there, what are you going to do? You're going to take it out. I mean, after all, it was still in its package. And I'm thinking to myself, this is good. I mean, I may not like the Girl Scouts today, what they have become, but their cookies are pretty good. And so I opened the sleeve and I pulled one out and I took a bite and I thought, this is strange. I took a second bite and I thought, This is supposed to be peanut butter and something, and it doesn't taste good. And so I looked on the box for the date. September 2013. It's almost 4 years beyond the recommended selling date. Now, I'll be honest with you, I did not spew it out of my mouth, but you know where those cookies are? They're in the trash. Do you think that we can leave a bad taste in the mouth of the Lord? Notice what it says, laying aside. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2a, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." When I read that, as I was thinking about it this morning, now, you know, folks, that I don't think like you. You can say amen. My wife was very glad to say amen. But as I was reading that, and I'm thinking about laying aside every weight, you know what I thought of? I thought of a Little House on the Prairie episode. You remember Little House on the Prairie? Charles worked more jobs than anybody around, and they were the poorest people on the prairie. Do you remember that? And there was a bet between Charles and his son-in-law. Remember Almanzo? I believe that his daughter called him Manly. Do I remember that correctly? And they were going to take two wagons, and they were going to go most likely to Sleepy Eye. Do you remember they always were going to Sleepy Eye? Is there a Sleepy Eye in Minnesota? Could be. But anyways, they were going to go in two different directions. And Almanzo took his one way, and he got to a hill, and the horses could not pull the wagon up the hill. Anybody remember that episode? I see hands going up. Good. I'm glad you understand where I'm coming from. And do you remember that he took off half the load, and then he took the rest up, and then when he got to the top, he took off and put it on the ground, and he went down and got the rest of the load, and he went back up to the top of the hill. And we don't have to remember that half the load was stolen while he was getting the other half, but you do remember that, right? Okay. But the problem was he had too much weight on the wagon. The author of Hebrews says we need to lay aside that weight that is keeping us from going full tilt for the Lord. It says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. Here, Peter writes that we need to lay aside, and he lists a number of things. Lay aside all malice. Now, that's not a word we use too often in today's English language, but lay aside all malice. That means all hostility, all viciousness, all maliciousness, all bitterness and hatred and ill will. I got a letter the other day in the mail from David Gibbs. Do you know who the Gibbs family is? Lawyers that work for churches? Anybody know who they are? A couple of hands, that's all. Well, anyways, he wrote a letter, and in the letter he asked that we would pray for about 20 different things. And one of them is for a church that is going through a church split. Now, I'm going to tell you this, when there is a church split, there's malice. There is hostility, there is hatred, there is ill will, there is bitterness. People have taken their eyes off the Lord and they've put it on themselves. And we are not to do that, because we are to look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. He says, lay aside all malice. He says, lay aside all guile. What is guile? Now, when was the last time you used the word guile? Anybody use it in the last week? Paul Wucky has. Anybody else besides Paul Wucky? In the last month, in the last year. So, Brother Wucky, you and Pastor Stephen have used that word. I don't remember the last time I used it unless I was reading it from the scriptures. But guile means deception or deceit or fraud or dishonesty. Peter is writing to these believers and they're living in a day in which, hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. As believers, we're to be honest. We're not to be dishonest. We're not to be fraudulent. We've all seen the picture by Norman Rockwell of the two in the meat market, and they're weighing some meat, and you see the butcher, he's got his finger on the weight pushing it down, and you see the woman buying it, and she's pushing the scale up. You know, why was she pushing the scale up? Well, she didn't want to pay as much. And why was he putting it down? Because he wanted to charge more. Well, we live in that type of society even today. But we're to lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies. That means sanctimonious, insincerity, a pretense of virtue, fake. Do you think we have fake believers today? I was talking to a pastor not too long ago, and he said this. He hates football. He says he hates football. He says it's because Christians today care more about football on Sunday than they do about church. They can't wait for church to be over so they can run home and get the meal ready to watch, in this case, the Detroit Lions. You know, the fact of the matter is, the football Lions should not be of more importance than the Covenant Baptist Church and those who are worshiping here, right? Hey, the Detroit Lions are going to let you down, folks. Let me tell you right now. Paul Madonna's going to let you down. I'm going to tell you that right now. But our Lord and Savior, we need to keep our eyes on. And we need to be in the house of God, and we need to serve Him. And it should never be said about us as we gather together that we're fake, that we're just here because. No, there's a reason to be here. Would you agree with me on that regard, that there's a reason that we are here? There is a reason that we come together, and that reason is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember Peter saying, lay these things aside, all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies. Notice, lay aside all envy. That means jealousy, covetousness, ill will, grudges, resentment. I have in my notes here, it says that jealousy leads to bitterness. That bitterness leads to anger. That anger leads to hatred. And it goes from there. When the bitterness gets into your heart, and when the jealousy gets into your heart, you better get rid of it quickly, because its roots will grow deep and it will destroy you. It will destroy your Christian witness. The sign says out front, a grudge is a very heavy weight to carry. Should we hold grudges? We can. I mean, you can get five people to agree with you that you have the right to hold a grudge. Does that mean you should hold a grudge? Are you glad that Jesus Christ doesn't hold grudges? That God the Father doesn't hold grudges? Aren't you glad He's patient with us? And loving, caring. We're to lay aside all evil speaking. That's all evil speaking. We don't want to do this one at all, do we? Can we just move along? Is that all right? No. Oh, okay. Evil speaking, that telling tales, little white lies, spreading rumors, causing discord among friends and family and fellow church members or people with whom you work. Lay aside all evil speaking. Folks, we need to have the right attitude. Would you say attitude plays a large part in our lives today? It does. As Gary was talking, Gary, my heart went out with you, to you. You've had the surgery and now the cancer's come back. I'm sure the doctor has told you you need to have the right attitude about, during this time. It's not easy. You know, when you've been told you have a health issue, sometimes you just want to say, ugh. But we know this, we that are believers, the Lord is with us. The bad attitudes of life can get in there and it can cause chaos. One of the reasons I married Donna is that very early on I learned that she had a good attitude about life. She's never understood why people want to be cruel in their jokes. She's never understood those things. She always sees the glass, well, not half empty. She sees it all, not half full. She sees it almost always full. Drives me nuts. But that's one of the reasons I married her, because she has the right attitude. We need to have the right attitude. I don't like it when she preaches at me. How many of you guys, your wife preaches at you? None of you. Some of you raised your hand. Very good. You know what my wife says to me? She brings up things I've said. Is that fair? Gentlemen, is that fair? Absolutely not. Thank you, Jim. But she'll bring up this stinking thinking thing I've said before. What do you do when she says something that's right? Agree? And then what? Take her out to dinner. Yeah, Golden Corral? No, she doesn't want to go to Golden Corral. She likes going to Longhorn. And she likes getting the chicken parmesan, right? Or the salmon once in a while. And then sometimes, can I stray for just a moment? We had prime rib. We were going to share it. We got the big one. And she said, we're going to do it in half. I don't understand why her half was bigger than my half. I mean, I'm not bitter about it. But the fact of the matter is we need to have the right attitude, and Peter is saying we need to have the right attitude. Notice verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. New converts need the milk of the word of God. They need to read the Bible. Now, all believers need to read the Bible. May I say this? You will never read the Bible too much. You need to read it. You need to know it. And what's amazing about the Bible is as you read it, and you may have read a passage 5 or 6 or 10 times, and you reread it the 11th time, and you see something new again. It's amazing. But we need to read the Bible, and especially newborn Christians, they need to be in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about Ezekiel. I'm not talking about some of the Old Testament law. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Acts and the book of Romans. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They need the Word of God. They need to hear about the Gospels and the Epistles. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire means hunger for, long for, crave, motivate to get. We should be hungry for the word of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. Those cookies that I ate the other, well, that cookie, I don't desire that ever again. There are things that I do desire. We have some cheesecake left over in our refrigerator. I might get done sooner than I thought. Desire. What are your desires today? Do you desire the word of the Lord? Notice it says here that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Folks, he's merciful and kind. He is long-suffering. He's overly patient. He loves us. Unconditional love. We notice through verses 4 through 7, it talks about the chief cornerstone, and that being Jesus, and how that he is the stone which the builders disallowed. Though rejected by men, Jesus was exalted by God. Can I let you in on a little secret? A day is coming when every Baptist will bend the knee to Jesus Christ. Amen? A day is coming when everyone that goes to a Bible church, their knee is going to bend to the Lord Jesus Christ. That every Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Church of God, Church of Christ, every knee is going to bend to Jesus Christ. Every Mormon and Jehovah Witness and Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and atheist and agnostic, every knee will bow. Now, they may have disallowed him in their life, or they may have worshiped him in their life, but every knee will bow. And it's good to be on the beginning side, near the front of the line, folks. You should be glad that you attend a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. Because there are some today, right now, that are in services. They're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about having a good time, or they're talking about you do good because, you know, we're all good and we're all trying to get to the same place. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of people trying to get there the wrong way. But the day's coming. Well, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. And we should be glad that we already do so. Warren Wiersbe writes concerning Jesus, in his first mention of the church, Jesus compared it to a building. I will build my church. Believers are living stones in his building. Each time someone trusts Christ, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented by grace into the building. It may look to us that the church on earth is a pile of rubble and ruins, but God sees the total structure. What a privilege we have to be a part of his church. Unquote. Verse 8 here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. May I say this, we live in a day and age in America where if you want to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become a stumbling block. We're looked down as being wrong, but we need to remain strong because Satan is alive and well in America today. But praise God, greater is he that we worship than he that wants to bring us down. Quickly, if you would, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, just over a few pages. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to be reading at verse 7 down through verse 9. First John chapter 1, 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Aren't you glad he's willing to forgive? But we have to do our part. We must come admitting that we are lost, that we are a sinner, and that we need to be forgiven. In conclusion, the book of Matthew, if you would, please, chapter 7. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's been speaking for a long time, and may I say this, he gave them not just a message, he gave them half a dozen messages in his Sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't know how many times they stopped for a break so they could maybe have something to drink or have some nourishment, but when you read the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke a long time and gave them a lot. But if you would, chapter 7, verse 24 of the book of Matthew, Jesus speaking, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rock descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Our spiritual house needs to be founded on the right substance, on the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the rock, and he is also the chief cornerstone. And we need to make sure that we are built into that building. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Do any of you like to be told you're foolish? That you're dumb? That you're stupid? Why in the world would you ever do that? No, we don't like that. But Jesus said, if we are building on the wrong foundation, we are foolish. We're foolish. And too many in our society are building on the wrong foundation. And it tells us, he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, why would you build on the sand? Well, it's right there by the water. You get to see the pretty sunsets or the pretty sunrises. You get to see the beauty of the water, and it looks so good. It's what society is doing today. They're building their houses on pleasure and entertainment, and they think that all is good. And they're entertaining themselves right into the pit of hell. And they're taking their children and their grandchildren along with them. The Lord says they're foolish. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The decision is ours. Where are we building? Lay aside those things that are temporal for that which is permanent. Heaven is permanent. And only what we do for the Lord will last. Shall we stand together? 375, just as I am, the altar is here. And you may want to come and pray and talk to the Lord about something in your life. May I say this, the altar is never a place of shame. Don't be embarrassed to come to the altar and pray. I mean, okay, so maybe you don't want to come. Well, have a seat right there and pray there at the pew. That's fine. But if you need to get something taken care of today, make sure you take care of it before you leave God's house today. If you want to pray by yourself, it's fine, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. Just let us know. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that our that your hand would be upon us, that the Spirit would be moving. And Lord, we know that if the Spirit is not moving, then just a lot of hot air has been pushed around today. Lord, we pray now that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.